the same opportunity exists at a much smaller scale at NFTs. Mm. I can go and buy one of these Pegaxi horses and it's going to cost me, let's say, $2,000. Well, I can go and rent out this horse for $50 a day for players. So that would come out to, it's 40 days. All right. So a month and a couple of weeks, you actually make all of your money back on the investment from people who rented your horse from you. Mm-hmm. And the value of your horse will probably stay the same, if not go up.
Boom, boom, sh, boom, 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 sh, boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
We're back. Woo! We're back again.
We are here. We're here. It's 2022.
We are.
Is that the year?
It is.
That's the year.
This is our second podcast this year, although we're...
Felt rusty on the first one with Nick.
You did?
No, not really, but I thought we would be.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while. It's been a minute.
I think it went smooth other than the fact that we were using Riverside to stream it, and Riverside stream quality sucks.
I'm just going to say now, Riverside, come on, man. Figure your stuff out. You know, UI is getting better, but when it comes to the streaming, no. Yeah. You got to figure that shit out. That is definitely, you done screwed us a little bit. But yeah.
So let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Riverside. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't think that'll happen.
If only they could be so lucky.
Ah, that's funny. Wow. Throwing shade from second one. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be back. To be back on the recordings. Like on this new recordings.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. The first month of the year. It's crazy. It's already February. But January was rad with the Rewind episodes. You crushed it in terms of the new commentary.
Oh, thank you.
On each episode.
I legitimately listened back to every single one because I did a re-edit on all of them. I don't know. It's probably not super noticeable to like the audience, but I went through and I sped up the pace and cut out a lot of the uhs and ums, and there was a few things that we talked about that were relevant at the time but are no longer relevant, so I spliced some of that kind of stuff out. So to do that, I listened back to the entire episodes to clean them up, and every single one of them I was seriously blown away the second time through, more so than doing it live. It's like you do the episode live and then you kind of forget what you talk about, and then you go and listen back to them and it's like equally as mind-blowing, but you also find some stuff that you forgot you even talked about, or maybe in the moment we were so into the conversation that something just passed over us that we didn't even think about.
That happens all the time.
So it was really cool to kind of go back through and listen to those again, because I was expecting to edit out a lot more. I thought some things would be less relevant, but damn, they all freaking held up really, really well. It's like just as relevant, if not more relevant now than when we recorded them.
For sure. You know, they were pulled from the last few years, I think, is what those were. And those were
some of them are all the way back in 2017. The Michael Taggart episode. Oh, yeah. We talked about Bitcoin. That was a 2017 episode.
Hopefully we can get him back. We're in contact again, so we're just working out timing and stuff, because he was a crucial guy along this journey of us to get into crypto, but also just open our eyes what's possible here. So yeah, those episodes, if you haven't listened to the Rewind episodes from January, go check them out, because those were curated specifically to highlight how far the show has gone, how it's progressed, but also where it's taken us along the journey. And I know a lot of you guys in Discord and elsewhere, actually, we're not really checking elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We check Twitter and Discord.
That's pretty much it.
So if you're not following us or hanging out in the Discord, what you doing with your life, huh?
Yeah,
you're not finding us there.
You screwed up somewhere along the line.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, Discord, quick shout out, hustleandflowchart.com/Discord. It's a great community in there. I think we have a lot of lurkers. We were talking about that, but that's cool.
Yeah, I don't care.
Lurk all you want, as long as you're in the group.
Yeah, I mean, we love it when people ask questions and engage and share cool stuff that they're stumbling across and all that sort of stuff, but we love the lurkers just as much. If you want to just kind of come in, hang out in the Discord, see what everybody's talking about, be a fly on the wall, totally cool too.
Do it.
There'll probably be some perks and some thank yous in the future to those that engage a little more.
We've got some stuff up our sleeve.
We're happy just for anybody to be hanging out with us there.
And then on Twitter, that's the other place where, you know, like in terms of Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, honestly, it's just ain't got time for that stuff right now. But, you know, quick check-ins. But if you want the consistent stuff, you're seeing us on Twitter now.
Yeah.
For sure. Matt R. Wolf is how you find Mr. Matt or eFlow.
Yeah.
And then I'm over at Joe Fear, and we have Hard Fork Gaming, which is our newest organization, group, company.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're calling it exactly, but in this episode, we're going to break down what that is
and why
we've moved that way and really where the show's going to, in terms of how we're putting the pieces together. And this is blowing our minds daily of what's happening and what's possible here. So can't wait to share that.
Yeah. So that's at Hard Fork Gaming. It used to be at Hard Fork Media, but we actually actually rebranded to Hard Fork Gaming, which I think will make sense by the end of this episode.
I think so.
But one thing that we haven't said.
What's that?
We hit a milestone with this podcast.
Oh, well, you just told me this last night and I was like,
yeah.
A milli.
Yeah, we passed a milli downloads.
A milli downloads. That's crazy.
And we did it during a month where we were doing reruns.
That's right. Actually, things have been picking up a lot lately. Yeah. It started around the rerun period, actually. Yeah. We're like, that's interesting. Should we just rerun all of our episodes?
Well, it's kind of funny. No, it's like, hey, if we go and round up the best shit that we've ever put out and put that out for a month, people seem to listen to it.
We haven't been the best at marketing the show lately either, because honestly, all of our attention has been in on this new thing that we're building right now. And to look over there and we're like, oh man, and like, we're still going to push out those episodes. I mean, Nick Peterson was a rock star and shared it a ton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Nick, if you're listening, thank you, brother. That was a fun episode. And yeah, it's cool. Like, the community that's supporting this show and also this pivot has been very interesting. It's cool to just see everybody kind of in the mix together.
Yeah, no, it's been a cool ride. We passed that milestone. And yeah, I'm really shocked, because January of this year was one of our better download months that we've ever had. And that was a month where we did the reruns. So
Milli.
Yeah, I think.
Got more coming though.
I wrote an email. This kind of dates the day we're recording this, but I wrote an email today kind of talking about everything that we've been up to and what's transpired over the last few months. And one of the things I talked about in that email was it kind of blew me away that when we made this transition into, like, let's put a little more focus on Web3 and crypto type stuff, that we had this assumption that people didn't really want to hear about that, and that we'd lose a lot of subscribers, and that people would leave our email list and just stop paying attention to what we're doing. The opposite has happened.
It's totally opposite. Yeah, and it's so cool.
More people started paying attention, and we're like, we stopped marketing. We haven't been mailing our list about new episodes. We haven't been putting as much content on YouTube lately.
Yeah.
We haven't been like
emailing as much.
Yeah, we haven't been emailing as much. We haven't been doing a whole lot of the marketing stuff you think we should be doing, and we had one of our best months ever. And the only thing I can credit that with is this transition is interesting people more than I realized it would.
I think that's accurate. And based off of the folks that we've chatted with, there's a lot of people that we hold up as mentors and just people that support us throughout business. A lot of the folks that you see coming back on the show and the repeat episodes, these are a lot of folks that we look up to. And, you know, a lot of these folks are like, hey, thanks for doing this and for sharing the journey along the ways, because you're kind of showing all of us what's happening and maybe what's to come a little bit. Because really, this whole thing that we're exploring in crypto and Web3, it's still early adoption. Or if not even maybe even earlier, the more that we're playing around and some of this stuff, we're like, ooh, seems like pretty early.
Yeah.
But it's all blue ocean, it feels like, you know, like there's a lot of gaps in the market where we can apply what we know and have been doing for a lot of time in the marketing space, digital marketing space and stuff. And we're just looking over here, we're like, wow. But the fact that we can report it back to people and also still share the folks who are building also epic things on there as well with the existing community and a lot of these mentors, we're getting the thanks. And I think that's where it's maybe piquing some interest. I feel like we know what to do with this space now, whereas before we were just dabbling, learning, trading random stuff that we didn't really know what it was all about.
Yeah, well, we found
we're not
our
trading
path.
Really anymore either. Yeah. We're building now, which
we found where different. We can bring value to this world. And before, we were just kind of learning about it and going, this is really cool, and going deeper down the rabbit hole and studying and trying to understand it. And then we formed a little crew of people around us who are kind of on the same wavelength with us, and collaboratively we kind of found, like, this is where we can bring value to this space. You know, and we also niched down deeper and deeper, and now we're focused just pretty much solely on the gaming space and the gaming piece of Web3, and kind of feels like an elephant in the room, right? Like, maybe we should address the fact that I think a lot of, and this is most likely us just kind of getting in our own heads, thinking that people are paying more attention to what we're doing than they actually really are. But we get in our own heads about, like, man, we've pivoted so much, and people probably think these guys don't know what they want to do, and there's all these pivots. But really, it's not as much pivots as it is honing in. And we've just kind of, we found this big picture of Web3 and crypto and went, ooh, this is really, really exciting. Let's just talk about that. But saying that we're going to go talk about Web3 or we're going to talk about crypto is like saying, hey, we have a podcast where we talk about internet stuff.
Yeah, anything.
Right? It's like it's such a broad topic with so many little nuanced niches and rabbit holes that you can go down. Mm-hmm. So then we kind of narrowed down and went, all right, we're really into NFTs, DeFi, and gaming. Those mm-hmm. are the spaces that really start to excite us, right? Because there's a lot of action going on with NFTs. And then with DeFi, I mean, people are getting better yields than they are getting with banks. So there's actual real world application and people are using that. Mm-hmm. Same with gaming. Like, you can actually see people play the games. There's streamers out there playing the games, earning real money. And mm-hmm. so those were the worlds that we saw the real world application actually playing out and people adopting them. But then we went, okay, that's even too broad. Like, NFTs is a mm-hmm. broad topic on its own, right? There's NFTs in every single space. DeFi has a long way to go. Let's just mm-hmm. say that, right? There's a lot of...
Well, it's a lot of barrier to entry. There's a lot of scams. It's Wild Wild West. And yeah. people are betting with their money. And some people are over leveraging with their money too. So they're getting wrecked because they're taking debt out in crypto. Mm-hmm. And then it's like wiping out all of their crypto when the markets go a little wild.
Yeah, there's a lot that needs to be sort of solved in that area. I mean, we're involved in DeFi. We're invested in DeFi. We're excited about it. But pretty much all of our biggest blunders so far in crypto, where we thought we were going to get a Lambo soon and go to the moon, as everybody says. And
yeah,
with Lambo. It's pretty much all of the DeFi protocols that wrecked us the worst over time.
Yeah.
Right? So like, DeFi has a long way to go. And it's also a very in-depth, nuanced topic that you need financial advisors to even explain what the hell is going on behind the scenes,
and a bunch of time to explore and learn. And that's why I said earlier, it's like, we're super early on the early adopter, and we've heard this on the show. Nick Peterson was talking about it last week too, and it's just more and more that's what people are saying. We're like, man, it's so early, but if you're curious of this space, what better time to learn about the infrastructure and like the foundation of what's being built than mm-hmm. now? Because the later you go, it's the more away we're going to get from this foundation.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean you need to learn all the techie details of all this stuff, but dude, just get involved.
Yeah.
Or chick, get involved. Not dudes.
Yeah. Well, all that coming back full circle, all that kind of led us to gaming, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we've decided, let's take our magnifying glass and let's hold it over gaming, because gaming is where we see the biggest potential. I've said it on Twitter. I've said it in, I wrote it in my email that I put out today. I think the gaming industry will be the biggest industry in the world, mm-hmm. hands down, full stop. It will.
It's pretty much there already.
Biggest,
it seems like.
Biggest industry in the world. It's only going to get bigger as people realize that they can earn incomes by playing video games, and investors realize that they can buy assets and let other people play with their assets and earn passive income mm-hmm. through the assets that they own. And all of this kind of nuanced stuff we're going to dig into in this episode a little bit, but like, we really realize that gaming is where the opportunity is, and that's where we've put all of our focus. And you know, podcast episodes going forward, we're going to talk about blockchain and foundational stuff in future mm-hmm. episodes, but you're definitely going to see a bigger and bigger emphasis around the gaming space. Because if you're listening in and you're looking for, you know, I just want to know where I should be paying attention to create that generational wealth, to create the lifestyle I've always wanted, well, we feel the opportunity is in the gaming space. Mm. And so it'd almost be like a disservice to the listener to not point people in that direction, right? If you're paying attention to this podcast because you want to know where, you know, where the puck is going, so to speak, and you want to kind of go down the rabbit hole, well, we think the best rabbit hole to be going down right now is crypto gaming, which is play to earn gaming and metaverse gaming specifically.
Yeah, let's unpack that a little bit, because I pulled up some stats to back up what you're saying there, Matt.
Yes.
When I was tooling around with over here. So you hear metaverse a lot. I feel like everyone has heard I mean, it's like Meta, you mm-hmm. know, Facebook with their whole rebrand. That's very, you know, they're just trying to swoop on the narrative, man.
They're IOI from Ready Player One. Yeah. They want to be that.
And they're tanking right now in the stock. So it's very interesting.
Poor guys.
Yeah. And gals. But, you know, there's opportunities for all. And, you know, when things are getting shaken up like that, I feel like it's an indication that there's something else bubbling up. Mm-hmm. And there is. So metaverse, I don't know. There's a lot of them. They're all different. So like, just explore some. Sandbox is one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's just an example that's made a lot of news. If you look up, they partnered with a ton of people. Snoop Dogg, all these companies are mm-hmm. investing in land and other partnerships. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. But what they're seeing is that there's a new environment being built, and there's a lot of people interested in building and investing and, you know, using that environment for a variety of reasons. That's the instant utility built into this space mm-hmm. where it's not instant utility when you're just, you know, investing in a coin or speculating on whatever, even DeFi, and hoping things go up mm-hmm. and not down. You know, there could be obviously utility built behind some of that stuff, but most of the cases, that's not what's happening. Or NFTs in general, you know, profile pictures, Bored Ape Yacht Club. Like, yeah, there's utilities and stuff built in. But at the end of the day, and there's games even that are starting to be built and partnered with them. They're brands.
Yeah.
You're basically investing in a brand and or a Rolex via JPEG, which nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know, but when you think about the utility and the depth and the just like what is possible in the ecosystem, when you start thinking metaverse and gaming specifically play to earn, then you're kind of wrapping everything into one. Like you have massive utility immediately when someone chooses to play a P to E game, a play to earn type game. You know, they might have to invest in an NFT or a few of them to play. And that's okay, because that NFT can be a profile pic. It can be a metaverse kind of wearable thing. It could be a whatever, but it also can give you access to this gaming environment that has built-in DeFi economies in there, has a crap ton of utility that even if you weren't earning money, you'd probably have fun playing it.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can actually earn money and then you can like stack your yields and get all crazy. Going down the rabbit hole here, but all this is to say is like, this is why we made the pivot to the gaming sphere, because there's just so much cool stuff and there's adoption happening at a such a fast rate.
Let's talk about the numbers
immediately right now.
Let's break some of this stuff down just to kind of like solidify what you're saying here. Is like this gaming industry and the adoption that's happening there is going crazy. And most of the big name like gaming streamers haven't jumped on board. In fact, a lot of them have actually been a little bit resistant to gaming because they see this idea of like, oh, I've got to go buy this NFT and I can't play the game and earn money unless I have this NFT.
Well,
but
let's talk about that evolution, huh? Because that's actually something I pulled up here. And this is, so Matt and I have read a ton of white papers, a lot of blog posts and YouTube videos, all that stuff.
Had conversations with game developers.
A ton of them now. Yeah. I mean, these are like, we're chatting with developers from AAA games, like gaming, big like studios that have developed the biggest games around. The cool thing is a lot of these folks, the developers and the gamers, but the developers are starting to move over from these big production houses like Blizzard, who just sold for what, $7 billion. Was it seven?
I think it's 7D.
I think it's 7D. Yes, I missed a zero. Quite a little bit.
That's a big difference.
Some change there. 70 billion to Microsoft. That was like a week or two ago. That just shows you the type of money that's flowing through this space. But the problem is a lot of that money ain't getting to the developers. It's definitely not going to the gamers. And it's going to investors, the owners, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, so a lot of developers are starting to see that and they're moving to this space where they see, oh, I can do what I'm already doing, but actually make it maybe my own, bring my skills over here and make a crap ton more money, but also make a bigger change and be on the forefront of this whole adventure, this frontier over here. Because the gamer and the adoption's like, it's going to happen. The demand is there, and I'll get to that in a sec here. But that's like the evolution of what we're seeing is that, you know, something we read is that you have the pay to play traditional gaming model. That's like, you ain't going to earn anything from that model. That's like, you know, the whole Nintendo's all the way up to PlayStation and whatever. You're paying to play. And then you have a pay to win model, which is essentially like they're calling it the freemium kind of model. So that's like
your Fortnite.
Or
some of the big games that streamers are doing now where you can get into the game for free, but you got to pay for skins. You got to pay for weapons. You got to pay for
upgrades, whatever. Yeah,
various upgrades in the game and things like that. And you buy those upgrades and the game still owns those things that you just bought. You might buy that character skin, but the game still owns it. You can't go sell that character skin later on an open marketplace or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? So you gotta, they call it pay to win because a lot of times you need these special weapons, you need these special potions, you need these various things that you have to pay for in order to finish the game.
Or whatever.
To get through it, you can't do it on the free version. You have to have some of these extra assets in order to reach the goal of the game.
So think about it that way. It's like your income's still gonna pretty much be zero, if not negative, because you have to continue to keep investing in this thing as long as you're hooked on their little gaming theory or, you know, like the whole algorithms that they're building in the games. And then you have the evolution of where we're talking about is, which is play to earn, the P2E. And that's where you're going to start seeing a lot more of this adoption happening because I'm pretty sure in the news with all these games, like there's a lot of consolidation happening in the gaming space right now. And that money's not flowing to the users and the ones that have actually helped build up these studios. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, does it sound like Facebook to you? Mm-hmm. Sound like Google? Sound like Amazon? Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, so, all of you guys, just to clarify that reference there, everybody who's going on Facebook and spending time writing thoughtful comments, well, guess what? Facebook's making money off of the content that you're creating.
Dang right. Right?
And you're getting how much of that money from the content you're
or
putting out there?
Or they're charging you for more reach or for you to see what you actually want or to engage with the community that you've built, that you're giving value. Maybe you're running your business on back of all these things. Yeah, I mean, it's just showing there's a migration happening, and these are all the hints. Mm-hmm. I feel like these are a bunch of hints, and it's happening in all the industries. So this play to earn industry it's kind of the future, but it's also the now. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you look at the games in the play to earn, let's be honest, like a lot of them are not the games that you would buy on PlayStation or whatever on any other platform that's like the pay to play. Mm-hmm. Or even the pay
to earn. They're getting there though. They're definitely getting there. I mean, like Sandbox is not fully released yet, but they had an alpha version and it has very, very similar gameplay to Minecraft or Roblox, right? You've got games like Phantom Galaxies and Star Atlas and some games that are really high production value built on like Unreal Engine that look like what you would play on PlayStation. Got games like Synergy Lands, which is a game that we're invested in really excited about. And that one feels very similar to like Diablo 2. No gameplay yet, but they have gameplay footage. It looks very similar to like the old Diablo kind of games and that better quality.
Better, way better. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the games that are out there right now that have a lot of active players are games like Axie Infinity, which are kind of shitty graphics and pretty boring gameplay, but
they
can
put
make
it
money
on the map. Well, they put PDE on the map. They basically created it.
And then there's Townstar, which is a game that my wife actually plays a lot of, and it's very, very similar to Farmville. If you've ever played that kind of
Facebook.
like a resource management game where you got to have like, you know, people chumping down lumber, and then you can use the lumber to build houses, and then once you build these things, then you can produce food, and you can build farms and raise chickens and sell eggs, and then you meet a certain goal every day, and you can actually earn money. The problem with Townstar is, in order to make really, really good money, you have to buy NFTs that you place in the game.
Right.
And these NFTs, starting price are like $1,400.
Oh, wow.
Right? So there's a barrier to entry for a lot of the ones that actually look decent and have really fun gameplay. There's a high barrier to entry to get into the play to earn part of it. And then the ones that have a low barrier to entry to get into, games like Axie Infinity and Crypto Raiders and some of these other games that exist out there, they're a very easy barrier to entry, but the gameplay is not the greatest. The graphics aren't the greatest. They still have a long way to go. So there's sort of this give and take here. Do you want like a really high quality, really fun, really sort of addictive game that you're not going to make much off of, or one where you're going to make fairly decent income off of, but the game isn't that exciting?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, let's put a bookmark on what you're saying there, because, you know, the pay to earn, or maybe we could talk about it briefly. I want to get to the stats a little bit more too.
That's where we were going.
Huh? Yeah, that's where I'm ultimately we're getting to. But the play to earn, like that is a, what you're saying there, there's usually some upfront investment, and it could be smaller, like a couple $100, or it could be a couple $1,000, you know, depending, and it could require one NFT to play, or no NFT to play, depending on the game, or it could require like three or
like
more.
Actually, you need three.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that like, and then they have these other mechanisms we're not going to get into now, but breeding and multiplying your NFTs. Let's just save that for later.
Yeah,
it's very interesting, but I know this could sound really weird when I explain this to like my wife. She's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Just hang with me," because like literally, it's interesting.
Yeah,
and it works. But the play to earn, this is where things are moving to, and this is where you can earn income as part of like playing this game. And right now, like you said, Axie is it's like the whale of this whole space, but doesn't mean it's the best. It's just happens to be on the map. I think they came out in 2018. So they've been around for a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of people in like the Philippines, Southeast Asia that are making a living off of this. They're supporting their family. They're actually getting bank accounts
but
now.
How do people in the Philippines who can't afford to buy the Axies play a play to earn game where you have to own NFTs?
We'll get to that. Okay. We have a solution for that. So, but yes, that's a problem because most people can't afford the $500, the $1,000, $2,000 to get in on these things. but they see the opportunity.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity there with exactly what you said. But now finally to the stats.
Open in the loop.
Yeah. We got notes this time, y'all. So we actually came prepared. Not going to be too tangential.
We haven't stuck to them so far, but let's get back to them.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be a while if we just keep going this. But the stats, I mean, this is where the gaming stats, like you were saying earlier, looks so damn interesting, is that there are roughly 3 billion gamers right now, like global gamers. We're talking about all the games right now in the market, and it's projected to continue to grow. Right now, only about 1% of those people are playing play-to-earn games. That's 1% of 3 billion people. And we know where the trends are going. We see developers from big gaming places moving over here. Not going to say this is all going to move over here, because it won't. Mm-hmm. You know, because some people are just going to be maximalists, you know, of like the games, of the traditional games, and that's fine.
I mean, I still love my Nintendo Switch. I don't see any play to earn coming out on that anytime soon.
Exactly. It's like whatever. We can't speculate on everything right now. But point being is that there is a massive market. The massive market continues to grow. And now you dangle the carrot of, hey, you can earn money over here and actually collaborate, and you can even resell the thing you bought into for a game for potentially a profit or maybe whatever. Mm-hmm. But you have the ability to now, like, you're not just gonna, that cartridge or whatever, that thing's not gonna gather dust in the corner of your house or in a drawer. Now, like, when you're done with that game or whatever, sell it.
Yeah,
you can rent it. That's a little something for you to think about. You can rent. What? Yeah, we'll talk about that too. But like, there's so many different ways to basically, I don't know, just be in a better position as a gamer, even as a developer, as someone catering to this space, as a marketer, a business owner, whatever. The point is, a lot of gamers, number going up, and number in the P2E space is like such a tiny fraction. It's crazy. But that's growing ridiculously. And yeah, like what you said, we talk to a lot of project owners, and we're seeing, like, we're working in this group, like, we get a bunch of conversations and emails sent to us now. We're seeing this every single day.
A bunch? That's an understatement.
It's an understatement. It's a F-ton.
Yeah.
And it's
a shitstorm of emails every day.
But they're amazing, because these are all projects that are looking to develop in the play-to-earn space. And we're talking like 10 to 20 more day. I mean, like, not saying they're all like, you know, the games that we would probably say should last. I mean, like, there's a lot of just people throwing stuff at the wall. Let's be honest.
There's money grabs happening.
It's a Wild West, and there's a lot of creative ideas and a lot of talented people, but at the same time, they're not all going to make it, and that's okay. Nothing ever does, you know, like that. But point being is, like, we're just seeing the momentum build in real time. We're like, this is wild. And we've never seen this. And we're basically going back to the point of why we're even moving into this space. That was long-winded. But I hope you see the picture of why we're so excited now and backed up with stats and, you know, just Google headlines even. Like, Google some of the play to earn and then, like, you know, the investments. You'll see, like, there's like tens of millions, hundreds of millions getting tossed around, billions even. Like, some of these companies are worth now. Like, there's a brand, Animoca Brands, $5 billion. And, you know, they were in Forbes. There's a whole write-up on them. So don't take our word for it. Forbes, they're writing about this space now. So it's like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, not a day goes by where you don't hear in the news, like, what celebrity just bought an NFT or what big brand just bought land in the metaverse, or, you know, like, it's definitely bubbling up in mainstream media fairly quickly now.
Yeah.
And you're seeing more and more, like, Twitch streamers and those types of people jump over to these types of games, because now they can double dip, right? You can earn based on people watching your Twitch stream. And
that's going to be tips, such a huge thing.
And you get to earn from your assets that you're playing with in the game.
Just wait for, I mean, you're going to see this on YouTube so much more, and Twitch, and Twitter, and probably any other channel too, maybe even Instagram. I don't know. It's all going to, like, wherever these creators are hanging out, and the ones that are especially interested in gaming, but also just like new stuff, NFTs. I mean, like you said, celebrities are just talking about it. They're getting involved, but like, they're only getting involved in the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs or like the branding kind of things. But what we're already
unless
seeing,
you're Snoop Dogg.
Unless you're Snoop, that's what I was getting at. But then there's really smart ones like Snoop, or even, you know, Tom Brady.
Yeah,
he just retired, and then the same day he talked about how him and some other folks are like excited to grow an NFT company.
Yeah, him and Tony Hawk are in on it. It's called Autograph.
Yeah, so he's like, come on, how many more hints do we need that this stuff? And it's really, if you think about it, the stuff is connected. Games are connected. NFTs are connected. People are interconnected. Money, metaverse, and all these different ecosystems that then be interoperable. You know, they could start like, they basically are integrated with each other where you know, your separate games and stuff really don't play that way.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point of this space is to do that.
I think we're getting to a place where people will legitimately have like a second life in the metaverse, right? Mm-hmm. They earn their income in the metaverse. They have jobs in the metaverse.
Don't be scared of it. It's okay. I know it sounds weird.
This is, to me, it's the ultimate freedom. You work from wherever you want in the world to do it. As long as you have an internet connection, you could put in the hours you want. The more hours you put in, the more you could potentially earn. The less hours, you know, the more lifestyle freedom you create for yourself. It's totally up to the players how much or little they want to put into this kind of thing. But I think people will have this second life in the metaverse where people are going to build businesses. People are going to have careers. People are going to be like, oh, I build, you know, I build slides for people in the metaverse, and that's my role. I build characters for people to use in the metaverse. That's my role in here.
So, yeah, what you're describing, which I'm looking at our outline, Matt, like we've actually done really well. You said we're off topic. Bull.
Well, I know we're on topic. I know we're off flow.
Oh, no. Actually, we're right on flow.
We're even in order. Wow.
We were in order, Matt. Wow. Come on. Wow. So what you're describing, though, is the blue ocean. The fact that this is not infested by great whites and blood everywhere in the waters. Like, you're able to, as a service provider, as a marketer, as a developer, as a creative, as a freaking someone off the street that has never had a job before, and you just want to reach out to a project on Twitter and say, hey, I could do this for you. Mm-hmm. There's a place for you. And that's what we're noticing is like, there's so many gaps right now, especially if you have some, you know, industry knowledge or maybe experience in like how to bring marketing skills, how to help creators, how to run paid ads. Mm-hmm. Like that, there's a lot of these things that are just like almost so basic that a lot of these projects are not doing right now. Mm-hmm. And that's value. You know, now you can become like a value add investor, or you just get paid in it straight up.
The world's your oyster. We did make an episode not too long ago where we talked about the opportunity in Web3, right? We talked about how Web3 still lacks marketing, right? They've got a lot of great devs. There's still a lot of capital funding flooding to that space. There's a lot of creators creating content around it, which is kind of the best marketing they've got right now. But there's really not many in the Web3 space using a lot of the traditional digital marketing stuff that we used to talk about. The SEO, the Facebook ads, the Google ads, the YouTube ads, the email list building and email marketing, lead magnets, using traditional copywriting skills to write the copy for their sales pages and white papers. And so I think what we're kind of suggesting here is that if you've been in the digital marketing world for so long and you've learned these skills, maybe you have a skill of funnel building or a skill of email marketing or a skill with Facebook ads, well, that kind of stuff is needed over here. And we think the opportunity is in gaming, but all of the things that are being built in Web3 seem to need that marketing. We've just decided, let's take this skill set we've built up over the last, you know, decade plus 2 years and apply it to gaming specifically, because A, we like games. We grew up as gamers ourselves. Games are exciting to us. B, we see it as potentially the biggest industry in the world in the coming years here. And C,
and it's fun.
It's fun, and that
literally
is. They need it. That's where the biggest gap is right now, is they just need attention.
What's really cool with what we've done, and it's just why it was so important for us in January to take that month off, and we planned for it before we even knew what the hell we were going to do. But calling back to Nick Peterson once more, you know, and I thanked him on the last episode for basically doing Nixmas, which if you haven't done that, I mean, he provided a link last week. You could find it in the Discord. We'll probably link it up in the show notes. Go do Nixmas. It's free and it's worth thousands or more, whatever you want to put a value on it. But it's an in-depth thing. It's worth it. And our Discord, like, there's a lot of folks in there that are saying like, holy crap. I'm about to go redo it. You are too, actually. Well, you haven't done it yet. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it for the first time.
Yeah, so, but point being is he stresses keep open loops. Keep things open as much as you can in your life. Don't try to fill the gap or the loop in whatever it is you're trying to do. I feel like that's what we did in January. Is you and I created a big open space of not requiring ourselves to record anything. And it's like we had this time to collaborate with new people. We had conversations galore. Like, I don't like the fact that we weren't recording just basically said we had a shit ton of calls. Like, almost every single day, it was like a 4-hour call at a time. It'll be a 2-hour calls or something. I mean, like, we kind of opened up space for the impossible, or like the unknown, I guess, to come in. And we got connected to some really interesting people over the last month and more, but like, we don't need to go down through all of that list right now, but we'll definitely be introducing some of these folks on the show mm-hmm. over the weeks and months to come as this thing develops. But like, we're bringing some of their friends, but also friends of friends all together. And we all have these different skill sets mm-hmm. and it's fucking crazy yeah. because it's like, we got the marketing cover, we have production, we have directing, we have, you know, like full level, we have KOLs, which we'll describe with key opinion leaders.
In my opinion,
AKA influencers.
It's yeah. basically a rebranding of the word influencer, in yeah. my opinion, but
well, your opinion's correct. It's pretty much the same, but yeah, you'll hear that term. Probably yeah. KOL, key opinion.
That's leader. Cool.
Yeah.
Call.
That's call. That's not right. Call. So, all of this is to say is like this gap, and you know, thanking Nick for this as well. You know, that's what I mean by like these open loops. That's what we've done for ourselves and we did for our business by shaving off a lot of the stuff that we just felt like didn't have legs for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe for other people, like Podhacker and Adam's taking it over. So, if you're a Podhacker guest, go freaking, or a member, go check yeah. out that.
Speaking into what you're saying, one of the things I remember Angelo told me mm-hmm. from Alpha Hippie, he's been on the show a couple times mm-hmm. now. Him and I did some coaching work together and he was coaching me through some stuff. And he said something to me that stuck with me that was, you know, you spend too much time trying to figure out the how, mm-hmm. where if you know the what and the why, the how kind of figures itself out. So figure out the what and the why Bang. First and really hone in on that. And then the how will take care of itself. And I feel like that was the position we put ourselves in at the end of 2021 is, okay, we know where we want to go. We sort of see the vision. We see the what, we know the why. Now we got to fill these gaps. And then in the month of January, when we had that free space of not recording all the time, not putting out new content, we were putting out content, mm-hmm. not creating new content all the time, it created that white space for the how to present itself.
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, if there's any advice or if there's any, like, if you're listening and you're like, wow, I haven't figured out this problem in my life or I hate doing what I'm doing, start to figure out how to dig yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the right move is to just quit what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously have a plan and figure out, not advice, yeah. but like do you, but at the same time, know that when you do some scary shit, like shut down something that you just don't feel anymore. You feel like, I don't know, like for us, like we're still getting a bunch of friends connecting us for the podcast and all that, like, hey, you should have this person on. Oh, you know, it's so cool and they're great people, but we're like, that's not what we're doing anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not lighting us up. Sorry. Well, not saying sorry, but like we've moved yeah. and that's okay. It's just part of life. Our interest has moved. And you know, if yours has moved, maybe it's not to this space, but something creates some open space. Mm-hmm. It's going to do wonders in some way. Who yeah. knows how, but, I know we kept an open loop on this.
Yeah, so we were talking about how, let's say, a place like the Philippines, Axie Infinity has gotten really, really popular over there. Yeah. In fact, there's a documentary on YouTube. If we can find it, we'll link it up in the show notes of this episode. But there's a documentary on YouTube that really breaks down the whole industry that's sort of sprouted up in the Philippines mm-hmm. around this game, Axie Infinity. Now, in the Philippines, the amount that the average person makes in the Philippines is a lot lower than what they would make in the U.S., and these assets, these axes, these in-game characters are fairly expensive relative to like the income they would make over there. Mm-hmm. So how are these people getting involved in Axie and building careers and making an income on it when a big majority of them can't actually afford to buy the axes themselves? Mm-hmm. And that right there is kind of the problem that we decided that we're going to start working on a new business to solve. And a big piece of Hard Fork Gaming is around this concept of a guild. Mm-hmm. And I know this is the first time we've mentioned the term guild on the show, even on this episode, but this guild concept is really kind of the rabbit hole that we're going down. And what a guild is, we can own assets, right? Let's say Axie Infinity, you have these little characters called Axies, mm-hmm. kind of think of them as like Pokemon, right? You have these Pokemon, you have to have three of them to play in the game. You go battle other people's little Axies and you get earnings and rewards for battling these axes, mm-hmm. right? Well, as a company, we can go and buy a whole bunch of axes. Let's say we could go and own 100 different axes, and then we can lend them to other players, mm-hmm. and then the players split whatever rewards they get from playing with our company, mm-hmm. right? That's the concept of a guild, is you have an investor who goes and buys the in-game assets and owns them, and then they rent those in-game assets out to players who want to play the game, And then the rewards that are made are split, and the percentages are all kind of negotiable between the player, which mm-hmm. in this case they typically call a scholar,
yeah.
and the asset owner. So it might be 50-50. The player goes and plays a whole bunch of time and makes, you know, $50 in a month. Well, $25 goes to the holder of the asset who owns the asset, and $25 goes to the person who spent the time playing. Mm-hmm. And that's this guild concept, this scholarship concept. And a big direction that we're moving in is building out a guild, so we'll own these in-game assets, and then people that want to go and play these games can then go and essentially borrow those assets from us, and it's passive income to our business, and to them they get to go play video games for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a guild.
And that's it. And see, so, and then we go back to the stats that we talked about earlier, and how there's such a there's this just massive amount of people out there that are interested in games. And then obviously there's a massive amount of people that want to earn more money in whatever they're doing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say with COVID around, with just uncertainty in general, financial situations of the markets and whatnot, like across the world, I think it just heightens the demand even more so.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, you look at a lot of countries like the Philippines, Southeast Asia, Latin America, you hear, you know, just I think India as well is starting to see come up on the map on play to earn. Demand is a lot of these folks are going to need assistance to mm-hmm. get into these ecosystems because it's just not feasible for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's a lot of guilds out there. Like, so if you look at these areas, there's like, I think about 4,000 plus guilds in just the Philippines alone. But you know, when we're talking that, you know, it's a guild of maybe, you know, eight people in there
mm-hmm.
and one person fronted the money, let's mm-hmm. say, you know, like, and then it gives people access to, yeah, this, and then they split revenue. Mm-hmm. That's like probably the simplest guilds out there. What we're doing is bigger than that. What we want to do is like, that's what we envision. We don't need to go in all the details here, but it's exciting.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to be documenting how, like what we learn and what we're doing across the, I mean, you're just going to see it. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody listening can do this on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. If you've got the, mm-hmm. if you've got capital to go and buy NFTs, you can buy NFTs for games like, I'll just list off some of the games that you can do this with right now. So Axie Infinity is the sort of 100-pound gorilla, right?
They're
thousand-pound gorilla, 100-pound gorilla would be a light gorilla, actually.
Oh yeah,
yeah, a thousand-pound gorilla in the room.
That puppy.
you know, they're the biggest. But then there's games like Thetan Arena. You can go and buy characters in Thetan Arena and rent those out to other people. Mm-hmm. There's a game called Pegaxi, which is like horse racing, but you're racing robot Pegasi.
yeah.
You can go and own some of those horses and rent those out to people. There's a game that I play called Crypto Raiders, where you can actually buy these little characters mm-hmm. that do these dungeon runs, and you can actually rent those out to people and have scholars and guilds in that game. They have a maximum of only, I think you can only rent out 10 of them, but you know, they've got that in their game.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of games in general being built with this infrastructure in mind. Like, I've been chatting with some that aren't released yet.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them, no, I can't say that, but a lot of them, the ones that see the vision, they're actually building out marketplaces inside of their games. So you can do this as an individual user, and it actually helps manage the payment process, the rental process. You can buy right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-on marketplace. And what I'm starting to see in these, literally I'm just chatting with the developer team, no one really sees this stuff, is that is a trend that's coming up.
Yeah, all the games now want to build mechanisms into the game that help manage guilds, because they know it attracts players to the game. And so I think that's going to be a trend that you just see ramp up and ramp up. But you know, I like to compare it to real estate on a micro scale. Right? Because like when you look at like something like real estate, you can go and buy a house, mm-hmm. right? And let's just say you buy this house, and just for easy numbers, it's $100,000 to buy this house, and you can get rent off of that house for, let's just say, $2,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
right? Based on that, you actually break even after 50 months, mm-hmm. and then anything after 50 months, you're now in profit on, you know, forever, as long as that house is getting rented out. And then you also have capital gains on that house, where the value of the house goes up. So when you go to sell the house, maybe the house is now worth $200,000. So you earned all of that rental income along the way, but you actually didn't necessarily lose any of that original capital, mm-hmm. right? That original capital was just locked up in the house, and you sold it, and you actually got a profit on that as well. The same opportunity exists at a much smaller scale at NFTs. Mm-hmm. I can go and buy, for instance, one of these Pegaxi horses, and it's going to cost me, let's say, $2,000. Well, I can go and rent out this horse for $50 a day for players. So that would come out to what is that, 1,000 days? I don't know. I don't want to do math. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be 1,000 days, but I think it breaks even within like a couple months, right?
It breaks even in 40 days.
It's 40 days. All right. So a month and a couple weeks, you actually make all of your money back on the investment from people who rented your horse from you. Mm-hmm. And the value of your horse will probably stay the same, if not go up.
It's been going up in value. Like,
they've been going up.
Yeah. For the last week or two, it's almost $1,000 up. Just,
yeah.
Which is crazy if you think about it. The crypto market's been going down and all that. So this is separate, but go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So like back to like the rental property analogy, you buy it for $2,000. You rent it out for, let's say, $50 a day. 40 days later, it's paid back. And then anything after 40 days on that horse is just pure rental income, property, passive income, right? And the value of that horse goes up over time. So, mm-hmm. It to me, it's like a micro scale of what you see in something like real estate investing.
I think you're right. Yeah. And that's a hell of an analogy. And it actually goes into something we wrote and talked about yesterday, which is like this win-win-win thing going mm-hmm. on across the board. And we're talking about guilds again in this mix, where basically, you know, gamers are going to earn money while the owners of the assets are earning the money on their assets. Mm-hmm. So, we wrote this thing down too. This is actually a line directly from Matt's mouth yesterday. So I'll read it because it's only fitting. We called it the Everyone Wins Triad. Title in works, TM. Investors.
How is it in the works and trademark at the same time?
I don't know. Think about it. It's metaverse, bro. Okay. So there's a different kind of trademark. Just kidding. I don't know. Investors get to earn off of their assets they are invested in. Gamers earn from the games, and developers earn because guilds are bringing them more players to their games. Mm-hmm. So it's this kind of crazy thing that works right now. That's what the economy looks like in these spaces. That's what where the demand is, what mm-hmm. the needs are there, and people are willing to invest their time or money and just a lot into this space, rightly so, because the trends, the stat, like the numbers don't lie.
Yeah,
we'll see how it plays out, but it looks pretty dang interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Matt and I have been thinking a lot lately, and we're thinking of like, man, it's just such a cool way to give back in a bigger way as well, and have a bigger purpose and meaning behind everything we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And if you've been listening for any amount of time on this podcast, you would hear our mentions of a North Star. You'd hear our mentions of like, man, we just want to do something bigger than sell info products to a limited amount of people. That's why we always wanted to make content free. Mm-hmm. Like, that was always our push to even start this podcast. It was the whole reason 5+ years ago, whatever it was mm-hmm. now. And yeah, I feel like this is like the ultimate way to even win bigger than we've ever imagined.
Yeah.
And we got to credit people on our team to basically open our eyes to like, hey boys, hey, you got something special here. And with the right people in the mix and the brains and the belief of it all, you can make it happen.
Yeah.
So go do it.
For sure. And I think, you know, maybe we did sort of dance around on this episode a bit and you know, I think
Dumbo. I didn't dance.
Yeah, I don't know. You kind of looked like you had to pee for a second there, but
stretch my back.
Okay, hurts. Yeah. We jumped around a bit on this episode because I think we're kind of brain dumping everything about why we're so excited about gaming in the Web3 space. But I think over future episodes, we're going to bring on guest experts who are operating in the gaming space and have them break down more foundational levels and the financial side of it. Because I think one thing we didn't break down on this episode, and is probably a little too complex to break down on this episode, is, okay, so if you play these games, and by playing the games, you earn money. Well, where is the money coming from that you're earning by playing the games? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, every game kind of has different sort of economics behind it and different ways that they achieve that. Some games that are out there right now have some Ponzi-ish elements to them, right? So there is some of that kind of stuff that I think needs to be broken down a little bit. And that's the type of stuff that we're going to bring on guest experts and the people building the foundational layers underneath a lot of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those are the types of guests we want to bring on the show so that we can just help further solidify in our own minds how this works, but also help anybody that's listening, wanting to go down these rabbit holes with us. That's, you know, we want to bring that information to you guys as well.
I like that. And we're going to do that in a variety of ways too. Not just the podcast, but we're email is a thing that we're getting back into.
Yep.
You'll see some changes there. I don't think we announced anything now, but just keep an eye on your email. Mm-hmm. If you're subscribed, if you're not, go find your way onto our list somehow. Yeah. Go to evergreenprofits.com. Guarantee you'll find it on one of those blog post
somewhere.
Yeah. And go join us on the Discord at hustleandflowchart.com/discord. You'll definitely hear about it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the place to be if you're at all interested. If you're still here listening, go to the Discord. It's free. It's something new if you haven't done Discord, but it's worth learning because there's a lot of cool people in there.
And if you go down this rabbit hole deeper and deeper, everybody's on either Discord or Telegram. All of these conversations that you might have with game companies or investors or things like that, they spend their time in Discord and Telegram, those two specific areas, which are two apps that I don't think either of us really ever used until about 4 months ago.
And I'm finding out that Discord, a lot more gamers, and there's a lot of NFT projects on there. That's kind of like where that subset of people live. And then Telegram is a lot more of the investors and, you know, other creators are on there and stuff. I mean, there's a blend, obviously, but it seems like that's kind of the parties of how they operate. So, yeah we find ourselves in there. And
hence why you don't see us in Facebook groups or Instagram or that kind of stuff as often as we used to be. It's because this is where we spend our time, because this is where the community exists that we're talking to all the time now.
And what up, Jasper? Bram? Jasper? Sorry.
Did he just say something in the Discord?
I just saw a notification, but like from Discord, and he was just sharing some cool video. I mean, I don't know. It's just like cool people like him. There's Ryan Carruthers. There's so many names. Jake
from Steak Farm.
Steak Farm. Yep, that's him.
Dwayne Moffitt.
I mean, I don't want to start naming more people because then I feel like we're just going to start leaving people out.
That's
true. We'll get tears. We don't want to have. We don't want to start the waterworks here for everyone. But check out hardforkgaming.com. Go check that out. It's a work in progress.
It's a very, very basic website for right now, but it's getting built out, and more and more details about what we're building will be available on that site.
Yeah. So if you want to see how this guild thing is turning out, but really just the media company we're building in this space, that's, you're going to see a lot of it show up there, and you can kind of follow along. Obviously, Twitter, like we mentioned, you know how to find us. So
there you go.
Anything else?
Matt R. Wolf on Twitter, Joe Fear on Twitter, Hard Fork Gaming on Twitter.
That's it.
Those are the places. If you're still enjoying the show, leave us a subscribe, a like. Actually, you know, the best thing you can actually do if you're enjoying these shows, the thing that we would appreciate more than anything, is if you shared it with somebody else.
That is absolutely true.
Like, I like reviews. I don't care that much.
Yeah.
You know,
we read them.
We read them.
We love them. We don't get as many as we... I mean, it's just tough to ask for. I mean, that's but sharing? I mean, now you're helping a friend.
Yeah, you're helping a friend member. And you're helping us. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
You're providing value, so they're going to thank you. They're getting value, and we're getting value because we get one more download on an episode. So
that's right. So go do your thing and go chat with us somewhere. Find us, and Discord is where you find us.
Twitter. Go find us somewhere, as long as it's Discord or Twitter.
We don't want to search too hard.
Alrighty, guys. Thanks for
thank you.
And girls and everybody in between. Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate you all.
Much love. Wag me.